Previously on Thomas and the Bible, God bragged about how he made the Israelites prosperous and how he covered their naked bodies with his skirt. There was a lot of talk about nakedness, whoredom, and harlots this week, but the Bible still managed to be boring despite the potentially titillating subjects. God promises that once he's done all the BDSM to the Israelites, he will treat them well again. I'd like to say a huge thank you to Lee Primesberger, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, for becoming my patron this week, with a Thomas Yawn count of 2 and a Thomas Sit count of very nearly.
Nice, Harley. Thank you for that brilliant intro. Yes, so when you say sit count, you mean it in a different, you know, sense than I was 100% sick, so that was a 1. But if you meant sick count like, oh, I threw up, then yeah, when are we talking? I guess during the show, yeah, sure, okay. During the show, because we don't count my yawns that aren't during the show. So fair enough. During the show, no, I did not quite throw up. Before and after the show, hundreds would be the count on that, just about. Lots of little bits. Yeah, so that was no joke last week. I was very much food poisoned. That was no joke. None at all. I'm sure you've heard by now. I think I mentioned it in, well, every show. Every other podcast that I do. But, you know, what can I say? My life's an open book for you guys. I do a lot of podcasting, so I got to talk about something. So, it was really funny. It's funny looking back because I'm just about better. It's still... Man, I'm still not 100%. Food poisoning is really, really no joke. I've never gotten it before, and I'm still not sure I'm fully through it. Like, I'm still a little weird, but more or less. And it was very rough. So enough about that. Let's talk about enough about me. Let's talk about your guys' food poisoning. Tell me about your food poisoning. How's it going? How is it developing? Oh, but I was saying, in retrospect, now that I'm sort of okay. It's funny thinking about how I was doing the show, just like not knowing what was going on. Just like, guys, something is happening here and it's not good. All right. We're on Ezekiel 18. That was a brilliant intro, Harley. You definitely deserve people to go over to patreon.com previously on, right after they go to patreon.com/TNTheB, of course, and pledge there, because your pledges keep this show going. The show would stop. It's very near the, you know, not, it is very near the stopping point. So please, if you're on the fence, please feel free to pledge. But so right after you're done pledging at patreon.com/TNTheB, because you love the show so much and you want to support the hours of labor intensive, just garbage I have to go through to make this show. You want to support that. Right after that, hop on over to patreon.com/previouslyon, support Harley's intros. They're good stuff. All right. Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord. Guess what, guys? Hold on. Hold on. Can anyone guess? I'm going to give you time to guess what's happening here. Now, you've got some possibilities. Let's see. Let me just think. Off the top of my head, maybe we're going to hear a really interesting story of true love between two men who, you know, at a rough time, you know, at a rough historic time when there was lots of homophobia, I would say 100% homophobia. Maybe we're going to hear, this is just option one that I'm just thinking of. So go ahead and vote, go to the polls. Are you guessing what we're going to hear Ezekiel 18? Are you guessing a tragic love story between two men forced to hide their affair? And in the end, you know, it really brought to light, like, the fact that we should treat gays better, you know, at this time. You know, a really good, something, just something really moral and just something you would learn from. So that's option one. Option two, something not incredibly boring. That's option two, which also is kind of option one, because that one was pretty good. And option three, oh, I'll just think of a dumb one here. The Lord is going to talk to someone again and say some crap. about, you know, I don't know, how they're cursed, the Lord is cursing, you know, the Jews still and all that. So that those are your three options. Third one, just a throwaway. Feel free to guess what it was. I will pause. Okay, it was actually number three. I know no one saw that coming. Yes, I know you all voted on one because that would be something that would be in a good God-inspired book. You know, if this was a God-inspired book, this is a rough time. This is a very homophobic time. A perfect being would not let a time exist like that, but whatever, ignoring that. A perfect being would write a lovely story of true love between two people of the same sex and try to really normalize that so that maybe things could be a little better in this horrible world. That, you know, I was going to guess that one too, despite the fact that I made up the game, but that would have been my guess because that's what a God would do. But what a crappy human would do, I'm guessing. This is just fully, I have no facts to back this up other than just a guess. When I say that a human wrote this, it is just a guess, you know, but what a human might do is say, oh yeah, hey, the Lord, powerful guy, that no one can see but me. Yeah. He told me some more things. That's what a human would say. So we're going to go with that. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so is the soul of the son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman. Guys, those are on the same level, by the way. Defiling your neighbor's wife, like just going, just like, hey, I'm going to have sex with my neighbor's wife. I'm guessing without consent. They never talk about that, but I'm going to toss the Bible a bone and say maybe they care about consent. That's the same as being near a woman on her period. Same crime. And hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, nor their take. I feel like I've read this before, but not recently, like maybe a few weeks ago. I don't know. Neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, that hath educated true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments. To deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of those things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains. I don't know what that means, eaten upon the mountains. Oops, bumped the mic. I want to be educational here. Let's see, eaten upon the mountains. You can always count on the Bible to be Googleable because people are like, what the hell does this mean? Upon the mountains. I'm not seeing just a definition. Does anyone have any idea? Does not eat upon the mountains, shrines, or lifts. If man does not refers, but restores. I don't know what the. Oh, eat upon the mountains. Oh, okay. All right. I'm not 100% sure, and I don't want to stop the show just for this, but I think that might be an interesting little turn of phrase. It means, if I have this right, eat upon the mountains means you're not taking your food and like hiding, you know, like, oh, I'm going to eat where no one can get to me. You're sharing your food with others, basically. You're not taking your food and eating it in a high place where no one can get to you. So that's pretty cool. I like that. That's a good message. If that's right, I'm not 100% sure. Again, I didn't see an easy search result, so I don't want to halt the show. But, okay, good job, Bible. I'll take that. Eating upon the mountains. That's kind of poetic and good message. hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted his eyes up to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury and taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth his father's sins, which he has done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountain, neither, because when you take that literally, it's pretty weird. It's like, just don't eat on this mountain. Why can't it? What if I want to go on a nice hike and enjoy a mountain and then eat there? No, not literal. That's fair. Fair. Fair play to the Bible. Neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any. All right, we get it. So he didn't do any of those things, is what you're telling me. We don't have, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquities of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say we, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous, this is kind of contradictory to an early time in the Bible when God just punished generation after generation for, you know, for everyone's sin. So interesting that the God, you know, God just is, depends on what mood he's in. If he's in a real son shall bear the iniquity of the father mood. You know, if he sticks his finger, like does a, you know, licks his finger and kind of feels where the wind's going. He's like, I think I'm in a son shall bear the iniquity of the father mood today. I'll go ahead and put that in my timeless book. And then the next day he's like, you know, I think I was having a rough day yesterday. I think I hadn't eaten quite right. Probably the son should not bear the iniquity of the father. And we could do this repeat as many times as necessary. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins and his command and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and he shall not die. Now, another interesting point is this goes against God's earlier teaching in Job, when it seemed to not matter how good someone was. It seemed to, you know, they could, if they could be a good person, they could be punished. They could be a bad person and they could have a good life. That was reality back then. But now, again, God has, you know, he opened the door in the morning. He's like, he's yawning. He's licking his finger and seeing which way the wind's blowing. And he's like, I think maybe bad people will be punished today. I'll write that in my timeless book. Definitely a good idea. So he just kind of writes whatever. It's lots of contradictions, just all in one way. All his transgressions he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? This is interesting. New kind of message here. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? Well, they are as you're putting them now. It's pretty reasonable now, but that's not how you've always been. You're constantly changing, God. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to think? Aren't you eternal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. and Tiny Tim, who did not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Which God am I talking to today? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord a God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? For I have no pleasure in death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Well, you wouldn't know that from earlier times. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So this is a more moderate God today. Today's God, forecast, moderate. Tomorrow's God, who knows? Moreover, thou take up, this is Ezekiel 19 now. Moreover, thou take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother? A lioness? She shall lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps, for it became a young lion. And it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. The nations also heard of him. Lamentation. Who's him? He was taken in their pit, and they brought with him. It must be lions. Yeah, lion. Okay. I guess. He was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions, and he became a young lion, and he learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate palaces, and he laid waste to their cities, and the land was desolate and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then when the nations, so this is just a really boring metaphor because you're just taking Israel and you're replacing it with lion, and that's it. That's really, and then you're summarizing what we've already heard, so this is really creative. Really good, good job, God. A plus. Then they put him in a ward in chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him to the holds that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the thick branches. And she appeared in her height with a multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury, and she was cast down to the ground. And the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, and the fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she had no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Then why isn't it in Lamentations? That would have been a good book to put it in. If I were to pick one, just off the top of my head. All right, Ezekiel 20. This one's a little longer. That was a nice short one, a little reprieve. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, who cares what day it was, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth to the land of Egypt, into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Well, look, ask yourself, God, be a thoughtful God, because a thoughtless, selfish God would say, what's wrong with you people? Why didn't you listen to me? But a thoughtful, sensitive God would say, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me as a God? What am I doing wrong? Where I'm all powerful. I've created everything. And these people are not listening to me. I ask them to do something, they don't do it. What's wrong with me? That's what you... Introspection. Introspection. That's what you need. You should ask yourself, God, be like, do I not exist enough? Am I not real enough? Do I just not exist? Is that what the problem is? Because you could fix that. You could just exist, right? they rebelled me and they did not ever mend cost of it. Yeah, I think I read that. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should be not polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and I shewed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths. I gave them my Sabbaths. And they do this to me. To be a sign between them and me, that they might know I'm the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I will not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying me. Damn it, I thought I turned that off. Done. Done. Alarm done. I already solved you, thing. You're done. Okay, sorry about that. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto the children in their wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I drew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate. In the end they might know that I am the Lord. Shouldn't they have known that all along? If they didn't know that, why didn't they know that? Huh? Why didn't they know that, Lord? You told them to do something. You are the Lord. And yet they didn't know you're the Lord. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices. And they presented the provocation of their offerings. They also made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place wherein ye go to? And the name whereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with a fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will rule you, and I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you in the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country when they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols. And hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. This is really boring. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all them in the land, serve me. There I will I accept them. And there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblations, with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor, when I bring you out from the people, and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there ye shall remember your ways, and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves into your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see the Lord that I have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, ah, Lord God, they say of me, doeth he not speak parables? What? Anyway, well, that was really boring. Let's see, are we almost done? Okay, last chapter. That was a long one. This is, damn, this one's not short. Oh, well, what can we do? And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, yeah, that sounds about right. Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and the prophecy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from south to north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, hath drawn my sword out from its sheath. Is he talking about his penis? Because sometimes that is a metaphor they use. It shall not return anymore. Okay, so he's leaving it out there. So he's taking his sword out, if you know what I mean, because there may be kids listening, and he's leaving his sword unsheathed. It's just going to be out there. I wonder if we could still see it today. Has anyone noticed a giant thing in the sky somewhere? Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with the bitterness sigh before their eyes. And it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou, that thou shalt answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and it shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened, and also furbished. Oh, it's furbished. You don't hear the word furbished too often. You hear refurbished, because apparently it was furbished once, but you don't hear furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree, and he hath given it to be furbished that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened, and it is furbished to give it to the hand of the slayer. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. It shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh, because it is a trial. And what if the sword contemn even the rod? It shall be no more, saith the Lord God. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy, and smite thine hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time. Ooh, the sword of the slain. It is the sword of the great men that are slain, which entereth into the privy chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, and at the that their heart may faint, and their ruins be multiplied. Ah, it is made bright. It is wrapped up for the slaughter. Go thee one way or other, either on the right hand or the left, whithersoever thy face is set. I will also smite my hands together. I'm glad we came up with the word clap. Clap is a better word than smite your hands together. They really struggled for that one. It was like, I will hit my hand, one hand and the other hand so that it makes a noise. You mean clap? Clap, that's a great word for it. Clap is sort of an onomatopoeia. I've never thought of this before. Clap. Clap. Yeah, see, it sounds the same. It is. It's an onomatopoeia. I will smite mine hands together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have said it. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Also thou, son of man, appoint thee two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites, and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways to use divination. He made his arrows bright, he consulted with images, he looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to appoint the mouth to the mouth in their slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to anoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mountain to build a fort. Ooh, I like building forts. This is the fun kind on your couch when you're a kid. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. But he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn. And it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn, for the slaughter is refurbished, to consume because of the glittering, whiles they see vanity unto thee, whiles they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. Shall I cause it to return to its sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity, and I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men, and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. All right, well, that was a long one, and it was really boring. But what are you going to do? I hope I brought the text to life for you guys, made it a little less boring. Because in the end, the goal is to get through the Bible and to get to the New Testament. So, thank you so much for listening. Thank you even more. This show is brought to you. I said this in Atheistically Speaking. I think I should start saying this show is brought to you by my lovely patrons. That's who brought you this show. Those who pledge to the show at patreon.com/TNTheB, all one word. Those are whom you have to thank. And so I will do so. Let's see if I have any new patrons. Jim Grove, I think, is a new patron. Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks for coming on board. And I'll thank my top patrons, Marcel, Camel Pope, Charles Bangwiener, John Bodley, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, and Travis Peterson. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. You really make the show happen 100%. I love you guys. Okay, I will see you next week. I'm not food poisoned this week that I know of. And I will see you for a lovely episode next week.